Father, we just thank you for the sweet presence that's here, that's resting upon your people. We thank you for this Christmas season where we've been able to celebrate your son's birth in peace and love. We thank you, Father, for all of the wonderful gifts that you've given to us in this season. As we go forth in the word, we just release your holy angels to do the works that you've assigned for them to do, not only in this region, but in the regions beyond us. We thank you, Father, that you are in control of all things and that you love us so desperately and completely. In Jesus' name, amen. My topic for tonight is called Being Transformed in the Presence of Angels. I really thought it was nice to have the Hark the Herald Angels sing him in the song service tonight. I really took that as a sign that this is a message from God for you. So, as we go through this message tonight, I want you to know that you're here for a reason and a purpose, and there's things that God wants you to know. We're still working through the transformation revival that God started and said he was never going to end and keep going. So this is a message that will kind of tie into the things that God spoke about during the beginning phases of this transformation. God has done mighty things to us this past week. In addition to these gifts he has given us, God wants us to become comfortable with the notion that there are angels that are assigned to minister to us. God uses his angels to accomplish special tasks for him. Those tasks can include supernatural help, special anointings, and bringing us special messages about things to come or things that he wants us to do. And the first thing that we're going to start off with is a short video about an angel encounter that Marcus Stanley had.
Late every night, I was actually walking to the store. I realized I didn't have my wallet and I hadn't reached the store yet, but I turned around and started walking back to go get my wallet. And I saw these guys standing on the corner that night and they were watching me.
One of the men approached him.
But when he said, "What are you doing out here?" and I said, "I'm just chilling," he was like, "Well, you gotta roll out." And that's when he pulled out a gun from his jacket. He had a leather jacket on and a hoodie. And he pulled it out and pointed at me. He shot it one time.
After falling to the ground, he was shot 7 more times up close.
And when I first saw the flash, I didn't know I got shot. I just remember hitting the ground. And then when he stood over top of me, that's when I saw an angel get in front of me. And I remember because I didn't have time to think about that. It was an instantaneous thing.
I asked him to describe what he saw.
It was probably, I'm 6'7". The angel was probably like 7 foot something. And it was just a transparent figure. I couldn't tell if it was a male or a female. I didn't see wings or anything like that, but I saw it was like clear, transparent, and it was in front of me. I knew it was an angel just because the protection, it got into a position like this in front of me. And I remember seeing that.
The men stood over Marcus, laughing, thinking they had just killed him. Still barely alive, he managed to dial 911. By the time paramedics arrived, they offered little hope he would survive.
I was like, "God, help me make it." I just remember trying to stay awake. It was like a movie, you see that stuff in the movie, you see the light up, and you see people, life flashing before their eyes. It was like that for me, except that I started thinking about what would happen if I did die, and I was like, nobody's going to know what happened to me.
At the hospital, Marcus went immediately into surgery, where he told me he saw a familiar face.
Saw a lot of doctors and nurses just kind of standing. And I remember looking, as I'm getting ready for surgery, I remember looking and seeing the same angel that was there on the street. And the angel was just kind of like arms crossed like this. And just like, it didn't do anything or say anything. It was kind of like nodding his head.
Doctors faced a major challenge while operating.
I had my colon reattached, half a stomach. My stomach got removed. My spleen got removed completely. Half of my pancreas. I had some very extensive surgery. There's certain things about my body that are not the same.
That meant months in rehab, including learning to walk again. Another major change, nerve damage in his right arm, left him without feeling in his hand. Doctors told Marcus his piano playing days were over, but he proved them wrong, making it back to touring within months. The amazing recovery came with a price, however, as he popped painkillers for relief. Thankful to be alive, his relationship with God was still shallow. 5 years later, Marcus hit rock bottom, struggling with drug addiction and depression.
I got to a point where in desperation, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And that's when everything changed for me, as far as pursuing saying I need Jesus. It took me a long time to get there.
Police later told Marcus that a gang initiation led to his shooting. They caught the men, but witnesses wouldn't testify against them, allowing them to go free. Today, Marcus travels the world sharing his story. He says his love of music is now part of his life's mission, which includes talking with youth groups and high school students.
It's not really about the music. It's more about what God's done in my life. And I aim to make him famous in everything that I do and to show his glory.
Charlene Aaron, CBN News, Glen Allen, Virginia.
Thought that was pretty neat to see and how an angel intervened in his situation. If that angel wouldn't have been there, he would not be telling the story. The types of angel visitations that I believe that God is going to be bringing to us, it's not going to be because someone is shooting at us or someone's trying to harm us. But if you remember at the end of the last message on Friday, you know, during the Transformation Revival, God said he was going to start allowing us to have visitations. And I found this to be very interesting, and we're going to see tonight how an angel came, visited the person, and then God started speaking, and then they went back to the angel. So we're going to see some different patterns that have happened and taken place. It's interesting because an angel brought the message about the birth of Jesus. And, you know, in this season here, God is going to be using angels to do great and miraculous things. The Spirit of God wants to address all of those who have the mindset that I only want to hear God's voice. I don't want an angel visitation. I just want to hear God's voice. And for some reason, the body of Christ has gotten into the mindset that the highest level is the being able to hear God's voice. Don't get in that mindset. If God chooses to speak to you through a stick or a post or an angel, receive it. It's just how he's choosing to speak to you from. And don't let anyone downplay your visitation that God has given you, because he chose that visitation, he designed that visitation especially for you. So when you're doing things like saying, well, I don't want to have an angel, I just want to hear this or I want to see that, you're limiting what God is trying to do for you. And you're saying it's not good enough. So we don't want to do that. This is a dangerous mindset to have. Again, speaking to you, saying, I just want to hear God's voice only. He wants you to be aware that while it is good to ask God for this, you cannot place God into a box and only expect him to move in a certain way. And oftentimes I've found that people, when they say, God has to do this, and then I'll know that it's him, that's the very thing that God is not going to do. So you're hanging your hopes on this when he has to do this thing here. And he's like, nope, I'm not coming that way. I'm not going to do it. So if you've been waiting on God to do a certain thing and you're saying it has to come through this certain door, let that go tonight. Be free. Because God can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. In other words, the Spirit is saying, don't place that limitation upon God. Consider this as well. How many times have you missed God's visitation because you were looking for it to come in a certain form? And a lot of us have. You know, we were expecting, a certain person to say a certain word. You know, I can only hear from this person here, and then I'll know that it's God. God's not into those types of games anymore. You know, you can play them all by yourself because he's not there with you. You just have to be open, and you just have to be ready to receive it however he wants to give it to you. Now, angels bring more than just a message. We need to come to this understanding that angels bring more than just a message. Angels are an incarnate form of God. Incarnate means God in flesh or human form. The Spirit says that many of those under the sound of my voice have been spoken to that they would see God face to face. And just by show of hands, if you've had a prophetic word where God said he was going to speak to you face to face, could you just raise your hand? That's just about everybody in here. So this is really pertaining to you. And I really want you to pay very close attention to this. If you're looking at one of God's angels in the face, you're looking at God face to face. Have you ever thought about that or considered that? Because the angel is created by God. He's created in the image of God. He or she is created in the image of God. So you're actually looking at the face of God. Let's look at Judges chapter 13. We're going to read verses 3 to 10 out of the New King James Version. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me.'" Verse 11. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now, let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" Verse 13. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Now, I had an interesting thought come to me while I was studying this, and that thought was, marriage is important to God. Now, if you're single, don't let this throw you. I'm just giving you a different aspect. Look at what God did with this marriage. God visited the woman, but didn't visit the man. God gave the woman instructions. The man went and prayed after the woman had the visitation. So even though they were same, one and the same, God still chose to talk to the woman. God honored the man's prayer, but what did God do? God came back to the woman and visited her first. The woman went and got the man and brought him to God. It really made me think how much God honors women. And this is something that you really need, women, you should take into your spirit, man. and really cherish that God loves you in such a special way. Women really have a special place in God's heart. And if no man loves you the way that you want to be loved, know that God loves you. And keep that at the ever forefront and presence of your heart. Now, when you see this angel visitation coming to pass, and you see how it's being laid out, you start to see more things. We're going to continue on with Judges chapter 13, verses 15 to 16. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Now, I think it's interesting here, and I want to point this out. Manoah didn't know that this was the angel of the Lord, and you heard in the scripture that they said it was a man of God that was coming to them. So, and the angel of the Lord was quick to point himself, or point the direction and the glory to God. He said, "No, I'm not going to take this food. That you need to make an offering to God." So that's how you know if when an angel appears to you, how you can check and see if it's the right angel. Because the Bible also says that other angels of light will appear to us. And we have to be able to be discerning to know that these angels that we're going to be dealing with and have an interaction with are from God, not from the devil, because the devil counterfeits everything that God does. So, the same way that this angel was hidden from their eyes, Christ also was hidden from the world, and the world knew him not. So we have a lot of things going on here in this story as types and shadows and little pictures of what our relationship can be like with God. Let's go to John chapter 1, verses 10 to 14. Verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him." This is speaking of Christ. "And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." This is speaking of Christ. Christ went to the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, and they rejected him. They didn't understand who he was. They didn't perceive the thing that God had spoken long ago that he was going to do through him. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Christ made an impact upon the world. But when you look at this scripture here, it proves that he was an incarnate, flesh, human part of God that manifested himself on the earth. I'm drawing similarities. Angels are from God. The ones who are not angels of light or angels of darkness, but they are from God, and they are a human form, a fleshly form of God. They're not Jesus. We don't worship them. We don't bow down to them, but they are a tool that God uses to minister to us. Christ, because he was made flesh and dwelt among us, you had to be in the spirit to really see him and perceive who he was. And this is the main point that I want to draw out at this given time. There are going to be times when angels are around about you because you're in a flesh mindset or you're in a worldly mindset, you're not going to perceive them. So what we're constantly striving for is to be in the spirit, not just so that we can hear God's voice and hear the word, but also so that we can see different things that are being manifested around about us. I would venture to say that most of us have angels around about us all the time, but because we're caught up with different things that are going on in our daily lives, we don't take the time to get in the spirit and see what these angels are doing. They may be waving at us saying, hey, I got a message for you, or hey, God wants to tell you something. But because we've not transitioned ourselves yet to being motivated to see, and I'm believing that this is going to change because of what God has said, he's going to start giving us visitations. And this right now is to increase your faith so that you start having an expectation to look for these angels to come and to look for these types of visitations to come to you. When you think about this, there are people that are around us every day and those who are worldly, and they don't know who we are in the spirit realm. And every one of us can say that. There are people that we have in our lives. They're not necessarily from the devil, but they haven't been activated in God's realm, in God's spirit. So they treat you from a worldly mindset, a worldly perspective. And because they do that, they don't see the gift that God has placed down on the inside of you. They don't see the anointing that he's placed in there that you're going to be using that possibly could help them in the days ahead. So they treat you with a disrespectful tone and a disrespectful attitude. So when you think about angels and how they walk among us, it is the same principle. Because we're not in tune to the spirit, we could be disrespecting them and causing them to not give us the things that God has set up for us to receive and to have. Truly, God hides himself in a form because we cannot bear the sight of his divine glory. God hides himself in a form because we could not bear the sight of his divine glory. And God has said many times that if he were to bring the fullness of his glory, some of the people would die. So this is God's grace, that he hides himself in angels, he hides his presence so that we're not consumed. We cannot bear the sight of the divine glory unveiled. This is what makes God so great. He made a way for us to be able to perceive him. He made a way to communicate with us in a way that we could understand. God, having determined to speak to us by men like ourselves, prophets and ministers, even when he spoke by his angels or by his son, they appeared in the likeness of men, and they were assumed to be men, but it really was a manifestation of God. So I'm going to say that again. God, having determined to speak to us by men like ourselves. So because God so much wants to talk to us and have a relationship with us, he sent normal men, normal women to us to talk to us. Prophets and ministers, even when he spoke by his angel or by his son, they appeared in the likeness of men. If we were to have a visitation of two wings floating, we probably wouldn't think much of that, because we don't know everything that's being shown in the spirit realm. And the best example of this is if you look at that vision of Ezekiel, where they had the beast, it had the eagle's wings and the lions and the bear all in one creature. If God were to present something like that to us, we probably would be freaked out and like, nah, I really don't want no parts of that. So God in his wisdom chooses to manifest an angel in the form of a man or a woman to us so that we can see. So Ezekiel is a good example of some of the different things that are in the spirit realm that God eventually is going to take us to be able to see. But it's there and it's real. I think if I remember right, they even said it had a wheel within a wheel and it moved with that, so that's kind of hard to imagine, hard to picture what that's all about. So God loves us so much that I'm not going to fool them. I'm not going to cause them to back away from me. I'm going to present someone in the image of me, you know, in human or man or woman. So the angel that talked with Manoah and his wife was not, as they thought, a mere man, but a messenger immediately from heaven. Judges 13:17-24. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, What is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So when Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rocks of the Lord, and he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on, it happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So a transformation took place in this visitation that they had. He went from just being a mere man to being the angel of the Lord. Verse 23, But his wife said to him, If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now, notice here in verse 20, Manoah and his wife fell on their faces. Verse 22, Manoah says, We shall surely die because we have seen God. Notice what Manoah's wife challenged and said. Manoah's wife said, If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So, Manoah's wife is pointing out that if God really wanted to kill us, he would have done it. And if he really was desiring to kill us, he wouldn't have told us the things that were going to be happening in the future. Notice that she never said to Manoah, We didn't see God. That was an angel. Notice that she never said to Manoah, We didn't see God. That was an angel. Manoah's wife highlighted the goodness of God. She highlighted the plan that God had for them. So Manoah makes this declaration as they both are on their faces as the angel is ascending through the fire back to heaven. Again, that was God. But what else happened here? The circumstances of Manoah and his wife changed. There is no evidence that the angel did anything other than that which is spelled out clearly in Scripture, but their lives changed. There is no evidence that the angel did anything other than that which is spelled out clearly in Scripture, but their lives changed. So, the same thing is going to be true for us. When God starts giving us these visitations that He has promised us, the angel is just going to walk in and walk out, and you're not going to have any kind of proof or evidence. You're just going to have to believe by faith that whatever the angel spoke to you or revealed to you is going to happen and come to pass. Now, the most immediate change was something physical in both Manoah and his wife's body. Something changed or she wouldn't have become pregnant with Samson. How do we know this? She has Samson in verse 24. The angel brought something to them that they had no earthly way of comprehending. The angel brought something to them that they had no earthly way of comprehending. Whatever it was, it affected everything in their lives. They believed the angel of the Lord, and it caused changes to take place in their lives. Again, God's trying to build your faith up. Build your understanding up so when these things start happening to you, you can get excited and you can tie your faith together with the prophetic word and the prophetic promises that He's given you. Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 5. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, Do as you have said. Now, this is Abraham, and he's having a visitation by the angel of the Lord. Did you see that it said three men? Can you scroll back up to that scripture? Three men were standing by him. This passage jumps back and forth from singular to plural, from singular to plural. And how many times have we read this and I've never seen that there were three men in this passage? You can go back to them. I checked this out in the original King James Amplified and Matthew Henry's commentary, and the Bible doesn't deviate from it being three men, which I thought was pretty significant. Matthew Henry says this, how Abraham expected strangers and how richly his expectations were answered. God graciously visits those in whom he has first raised the expectation and manifests himself to those that wait for him. So again, this is a clue because God is trying to get our expectancy up so that we can start receiving these visitations. I'm going to read what Matthew Henry says again. How Abraham expected strangers, and how richly his expectations were answered. God graciously visits those in whom he has first raised the expectation of him, and manifests himself to those that wait for him. When Abraham was thus sitting, he saw three men coming towards him. These three men were three spiritual heavenly beings, now assuming human bodies, that they might be visible to Abraham and conversable with him. Some think that they were all created angels, others that one of them was the Son of God, the angel of the covenant, whom Abraham distinguished from the rest, and who was called Jehovah. So there's some different thoughts going on about who these three men actually are. Don't really want to get concentrated on that, because again, this is about having the visitation itself and what took place. I want to tie this together with what God spoke on Friday night at the Transformation Revival. So look at this. God said a time of divine visitation is a period of meeting God and discussing all our issues with him, or a time when all our expectations are delivered to us. When God visits you, everything about you changes for better. When God visits, past promises and prophecies are turned into reality. Tangible results are seen. Every divine visitation always culminates in a supernatural manifestation. Every divine visitation always culminates in supernatural manifestation. Now, this is what God spoke to us on Friday, and then he anointed us to receive this, if you all remember that. As God teaches us, it builds our faith to receive the thing that he's teaching us about, and that sets us up to receive it. So our expectancy should be high, and we should be starting to have these heavenly encounters that God has been telling us about. If and only if we allow our faith to expand with what we have been taught. If and only if we allow our faith to expand with what we have been taught. In other words, we can listen at the message and say, that's a bunch of junk. And that's what it will be, just a bunch of junk. It needs to connect with our heart, our soul. The seeds that God plants must take root within us so that they can grow and produce fruit. Going back to Genesis chapter 18, verses 6 to 15. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the trees as they ate. Verse 9. Here's the multiples thing again. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. So these three people are speaking as one, because he goes from this plural, then they, to the singular. I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Continuing on with verse 10. Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, again singular, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. I find it interesting the way it still points out them and they throughout this passage. These verses still point out that there is more than one being here. These verses point out that there is more than one being here. We can see in one moment the Bible is talking about the three men, and then it immediately references God. These three men speak as a group, but then God speaks as one through them. This angelic visitation was a direct portal for God to come through and speak into Abraham's situation. You guys see that? It's kind of, to me, it seems like it's hidden in there. Here you have these three beings, and they don't say that they're God, but when the anointing hits them, God's presence hits them, God's presence starts speaking to Abraham and to Sarah and giving them instruction. It's a different way of looking at it. Test it. Could it be that when God starts giving us these angel visitations, that he starts manifesting his presence through the angel and starts talking directly to us? So now, you have a person that's here, face to face, you're looking at them and you're talking to them, and God's voice starts speaking out. The best representation of this that I know that has happened here, and all of us have probably seen it and not been aware of it, Pastor Barbara will be given a message and she'll be talking. God hits her and he just starts talking through her. She doesn't say, this is thus saith the Lord. She just transforms, and God starts speaking through her. So when you put a real-life example of that happening, and then God saying he's going to give us those types of visitations in our natural lives because he's going to use an angel to manifest himself to us and then start speaking, your faith should be really built up in becoming high and connecting with the words that God has been speaking to us. And this has happened on more than one occasion, as far as God manifesting himself. And there's other people that God manifests himself through in this fashion, you know, in the whole earth is what I'm trying to say. Because these three beings were present, God chose to manifest himself through them and speak directly to Abraham and Sarah. I am pointing this out because God did this often throughout the Bible, and if you're of the mindset that I only want to hear his voice, You may be missing the way that God manifests his voice in our realm, because he's trying to do the same things that he did back in the Old Testament. He's bringing them back now in the New Testament. Genesis 18, verses 16 to 21. Abraham intercedes for Sodom. Verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So again, you have this dialogue going on. You have these three beings that are from God. God is talking directly to these three beings, explaining to them, Abraham's walking with us. I don't know at this point if Abraham is actually hearing this beginning part of this conversation, because it doesn't really say. It's not really clear. So I'm not going to jump out there and say that he did hear. But it's interesting that God and these three beings are conversing with each other. And then God makes the decision, I got to tell Abraham. So he starts talking out of these three beings directly to Abraham, saying, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, this is what I'm going to do. So these three beings are still on the earth, but they're going towards Sodom. Abraham is with them, and while these beings are journeying to Sodom, God starts speaking directly to them, the beings. And this is his conversation with the beings, verse 17 and 19. God isn't speaking this to Abraham, he is speaking to these three beings that he has sent to the earth in verses 17 and 19. But then in verse 20, the Lord speaks. The Lord announces his plan to Abraham in verses 20 and 21. So here, we have God still manifesting himself in the form of these three beings, but the need arises for him to speak to Abraham, and God shares his heart with Abraham. I just want to say that it has been prophesied for years that God was going to start increasing the angelic activity upon the earth again. And all of us have heard this. And we are going to be a part of these visitations. So we know from Bible history what happened with this Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Another thought about Abraham had to be receiving something while he was walking with God, these three beings. So the presence coming off of these three beings had to be doing something to Abraham and transforming him. We all know that you cannot be in the presence of God without something inside of you changing. The Bible doesn't say this, but Abraham was in the presence of these beings, and God was manifested through them. The anointing that had to be around these three beings had to leap onto Abraham. When the real deep presence of God manifests, if you are open to it, a change takes place inside of your being. Think about this. When the anointing is moving in here, how many people get touched in that presence and they are able to surrender to God? They are able to commit to him. Healings manifest. Joy returns. But when they step back home, when they step out of the portal, it all leaves them. The manifest presence of God will cause those changes to take place. But it's up to the person to keep that presence going. It's up to the person to keep seeking God and allowing God to touch them and to not allow doubt and unbelief. That didn't really happen. You really didn't feel that. You really didn't hear the things that you heard while you were in that strange place with the glitter on the walls. You know, those types of things happen to people. But for those who have, they just believed, God kept going, God kept ministering to them, He kept talking to them, and His presence stayed with them. This is why people under the anointing will say all kinds of things, but when that anointing wanes, they never do them. That desire to serve God even leaves with the anointing. Now we're going to look at the angelic visitation that Gideon had. Look and see how at times Gideon is talking directly with God. Do not be unbelieving, but believe, because God wants to relate to us. In this, He wants to fellowship with us face to face. This is going to be important in the days ahead, because God has been saying He's going to anoint us, which in reality is He's going to put His presence on us so strong that He's just going to start talking through us to His people. So as these angels come and they deliver His presence to us, we start becoming carriers of that glory, and we start taking that glory wherever we go, so that the people that are around about us are changed and transformed by that glory. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. Verse 11, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, highlighted for you. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? God spoke to Gideon, gave Gideon instructions, while the angel of the Lord was standing there. So, he's having a conversation with the angel of the Lord. He provokes God to say something to him through this angel of the Lord. And it's not saying the angel of the Lord said it. It said the Lord said it. There's a manifestation of God's presence that comes and that takes place through this visitation that Gideon is having with this angel. Judges 6, 15 and 23. So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire arose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Kind of similar to what happened to Manoah and his wife with Samson. Verse 22, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God. So again, there's this transformation. Gideon is not saying, I'm talking to an angel. He's talking directly to God. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. God speaks back to him. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Here's this thing about dying again. They've been in the manifest presence of God. And that's what happened to you. I don't know if you've ever realized the depth of the anointing that God has placed in front of us. There was one time I went with Pastor Barbara and Larry, and we were praying at Neil Russell's house with his wife, his first wife, who was passing away. We were praying. The house was filled with people that I was praying. God manifested himself in that house in such a strong way. It shook the very hair on your head. And it scared me bad because I had never felt anything that intense in my life. And the presence of God was just so strong. And Pastor Barbara looked at me and she said, "Well, it's time to go." And we walked out to my truck at the time and got in the truck. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to say anything. And Pastor Barbara was like, "What's wrong with you?" I was like, "Did you feel that? I was scared. The presence of God was just that heavy and that strong. God is going to start bringing us back in such a powerful way. And I'm saying all of this to say, if you've been under that, if you felt that before, that's coming back. But the manifestation of his presence was just so real. You really just... I didn't want to drive. I didn't want to think. I didn't want anybody talking. I'm in the car with Pastor Barbara. So you have to make conversation. So she was like, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I think I am. I think I'm okay." But she was used to walking in that level of power. Larry was used to walking in that level of power. I wasn't used to that. Like I say, that changed me forever. I know something was in that house. I know something was coming off of Pastor Barbara. And it just, I don't know. It was just, it still shakes me up to this day. Verse 21 says that the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. But verse 23 says that the Lord spoke to Gideon without the angel of the Lord being out of Gideon's sight. So the angel of the Lord had departed. So God spoke. God's presence was so strong in the atmosphere, he still spoke through that atmosphere. So the angel of the Lord was somewhere near to Gideon. Gideon could not see him, but God spoke and gave Gideon instruction. Something happened to Gideon after that visitation with the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord imparted something to him, and Gideon became bold for God. And see, and this is how you know if God has really been in your midst. You don't care about anything. You'll just say whatever God leads you to say because you know that God is saying it through you. You just know. Look at what happened to Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verses 23 to 27. Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take down your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in a proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down." So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Because of the levels of darkness that we are fighting against, God is allowing for us to know our angels are there to give us this level of boldness to fight against the enemy. So even though Gideon was afraid of his father, because he had had that angelic encounter, he still carried forth with the assignment that God had given him. And he went with these 10 other men, and they tore down that altar. We are encountering gross darkness, but God is sending angels with us that will manifest His presence around us so that we are encased in a field of His presence. We are encountering gross darkness, but God is sending us angels that will manifest His presence around us so that we are encased in a field of His presence. It's a protective bubble that will assist us because it gives us clear, direct contact with God. Let's look at Moses. God promised to manifest Himself to Moses. In the days ahead, we're going to need that protective bubble because of the different things that the Antichrist spirit is doing, the ministries that God has given us. You know, we're going to have a boldness like John the Baptist to just let it rip and say, hey, you need to get it together. You need to get it together. And there are going to be people who are going to be mad. Because how dare you judge me, or how dare you reveal my sin out into the whole world? But God is allowing it to happen. God is going to be using us to do these types of things. And you need to know as a child of God that there are going to be times when God will allow you to get hurt. But there's other times when the angel of the Lord is going to be there and He is going to protect you. Because God wants that message to go forth and be out there for His people to know, hey, this is a sign and a wonder, and you can't touch my servants. You can't do anything to harm them. Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. Verse 2, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Exodus 33:12-23. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. This is God speaking back to Moses. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Verse 19. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses had the direct, manifest presence of God pass before him. Moses communicated within and through this presence at different times throughout his relationship with God. Because of God saying that He is going to give us visitations, I believe that God is prepping us in our faith to be able to receive this direct contact with Him. Nothing that God has done has been on accident throughout this phase of the revival that He is bringing. Everything has been building line upon line and precept upon precept. And you really, really need to see that. I really believe that God took us to a different place and a different level because of what he's doing and what he's bringing. And, you know, the sifting that he's been doing is not because he doesn't like the people that are being sifted out. They're consciously making decisions that I can't go any further. They're constantly consciously making decisions that they can't go any further. This is all I'm willing to give. This is all I'm willing to sacrifice for you, God. So at that point in time, they're being separated. They're not losing their salvation, but they're not going to go to the deeper place that God has been promising his people that they're to go to. This doesn't make them evil. This doesn't make them bad. You've just committed yourself to a deeper place and a deeper walk. So you have to have that level of understanding that, you know, we all are going through a training process. We all have made a conscious decision. God, whatever it takes, however long it takes, whatever we got to do, we're going to do it. You know, we make this willingly. So as we pass on to a new level and a new realm, we gain more of God's presence, but it's also more of a stripping that takes place inside of us, more of a losing the things of the world and the things of the flesh. And that's a greater level of accountability, because we literally cannot do the things that we used to do. We have to let those things go. That's a part of the price that we're paying in order to attain the higher levels of glory. And again, it's not to say that the people that have been sifted out are bad or whatever. They just were not able to make the decision to go to this next step in this next phase. In converse, because we are making that decision, God is releasing more of his presence into us. More of his presence is available to us because we have been purified to be able to carry it. Does that make sense? Exodus 3:1-10. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Again, this is going back to the beginning of Moses' walk with God, and how the angel of the Lord appeared in the burning bush. But because it was a manifestation of the presence of God, it switched from the angel talking to God talking directly to Moses. Moses was changed. He was transformed. He was given his instructions on what he was going to be doing with the rest of his life and his life's calling. And God spoke to him directly the things that he's going to be doing. The angel visitations, the visitation that God has planned and set up for you is strategic. It's going to come at the time that he wants it to come. I want to encourage you and challenge you not to try to make it happen. You know, don't sit in a room trying to chant and bring it up. When God wants it to happen, when God wants it to manifest, it just will. The things that you need to concentrate on now are just spending time with God. And that's not spending time at the expense of your family. That's not spending time at the expense of your daily chores, your daily work responsibilities. Don't get stupid. Please don't get stupid with this message, because God is able to allow you to go to work. He's allowed you to tend to the needs of your family, tend to your responsibilities, and still minister to you, and still cause you to have a manifestation of His presence and a manifestation of an angel. And it don't have to take 16 hours. God can do a lot of work in 5 minutes. He can carry you out in the spirit in 5 minutes and show you a whole bunch of stuff and bring you back. And then you carry on with your daily chores and your responsibilities. So please don't take this to a place that God is not allowing it to take. Does that mean that in the days ahead you won't have a 16-hour visitation where you're carried in the spirit? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying at this point in time, don't try to make it happen. Just flow into it. There's times when you know, we're so eager and we're so hungry for God to manifest, and he chooses to not manifest Himself. At that point in time, you've done your part. He's seen your obedience. You get up and you walk away. You wait. A part of the process is waiting. And nobody likes to wait. You got to understand that. Nobody likes to wait. But the whole, you know, that whole process of waiting teaches you how to build your expectancy in Him, teaches you how to build your desire for Him. Don't become discouraged if you have to wait for a season before God starts manifesting Yourself. And for God, please don't become jealous of your brother or sister if they get a manifestation before you. Rejoice with them. Rejoice and celebrate with them over that manifestation, because that should be a greater encouragement. All right, God's word is true. It's going to come to me when God wants it to come to me. In closing, we have this pattern being fulfilled for this visitation. The angel of the Lord, God speaking through the angel of the Lord directly to the person. God sends His angel. His angel gets the people's attention, and then God manifests His presence to the people. Again, I want to tie this together with what God spoke on Friday night at the Transformation Revival. A time of divine visitation is a period of meeting God and discussing all our issues with Him, or a time when all our expectations are delivered to us. When God visits you, everything about you changes for the better. When God visits, past promises and prophecies are turned into reality. Tangible results are seen. Every divine visitation always culminates in supernatural manifestation. Father, I thank You for this teaching. I thank You for the faith that it was designed to instill within Your people. As we go forth, we just seek Your face. We seek Your presence. We just ask that Your divine will and purposes be established in each and every one of our hearts. Father, we thank You that You love us so much that You're able to carry us to our next level. You're able to carry us into our next realm of glory with You. And Father, we thank You that You've stripped us all clean of the things that You want us to be stripped from. We pray, Father, for complete divine infilling tonight and a complete manifestation of Your presence inside of us.